days at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Four teams remain in contention for the trophy at the FIBA Basketball World Cup for Men. Joining me now for some analysis is my friend and colleague, Mukbil Yabarov. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Let's take a look at Friday's semifinal matchups, Mukbil. Serbia versus Canada and the USA versus Germany. Let's begin with the Serbians. I remember you telling me how Nikola Jokic was going to take a rest, and he did not play at this Basketball World Cup. Who has kind of picked up the slack for Jokic?
The Serbian side have had Bogdanovic really lifting heavy for them. He is averaging, I believe, about close to, is it close to 20?
About 20 a game.
But outside of that, they've been a really strong collective team, playing amazing defense. They're fast, they're athletic, they're long, they're lengthy. All in all, this has been a great tournament for them. We knew even without Jokic that this was still a very strong team. You know, every time the Serbians come out to play in tournaments like this, they perform relatively well. So it is not a shocker for them to be here. It is a shocker for the Canadians to be here, though.
I think it's the first time they've made it this far.
Absolutely. It is their first time. But by looking at their roster, though, you don't think that they shouldn't be here. Led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, leading the team. And he had a stellar performance in their quarters against
Slovenia.
100-89. Beat out Luka Doncic's crew. He had about 30 and 10. Close to 30 and 10.
I didn't watch that game, Mukbil, but I know Luka Doncic, the Slovenian star, kind of had a little maybe sour taste in his mouth at the end. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I believe he was being defended relatively hard. Dylan Brooks was switching on him a lot. They also had, you know, SGA was on him sometimes. Dort was guarding him at times, and Dort was the one who was guarding him on the last possession right before he got ejected, when he looked over at the ref and kind of screamed at the ref and said some things to the ref, and the ref felt like that was enough. And he teed him up second time, and he was out.
In the other quarterfinal on Wednesday, Germany edged Latvia 81-79. Maybe one of the best games of the tournament, Mukbil. A lot of lead changes. The Germans prevail and now go up against the USA in one of Friday's semifinals. How do you see that matchup, USA versus Germany?
I think the German side, it's kind of sad that they had to ruin the Cinderella party for the Latvian side, you know. they were playing well, and, you know, Germany kind of had to put an end to it. But the game was relatively close. 81-79 means, as you said, there was a lot of lead changes. Germany did just enough to get it over. Being led by their main man, Dennis Schroeder, who is averaging about 18 points per game. He is their anchor. He's their point guard. He is their floor general. And he will be the deciding factor against the U.S. side. Unfortunately for them, the U.S. side is so well-balanced. They have a plethora of options. They did have a couple of off games, but nonetheless, I believe that the U.S. should have the upper hand for sure.
And if we look at the American lineup, Muckbill, Anthony Edwards leading the attack for the USA.
Anthony Edwards has been playing insane. Even in their loss, he put up 35 points. I believe he's the only one who's played at a consistent level throughout all the games so far. But I think, honestly, Sonny, it was a good thing for them to catch their first loss, because it shows them that they are, you know, they can be beat. And when you see that, it gives you a different level of energy. You come out, you make sure that every possession matters, every quarter matters, and they're going to come into this semis with a different level of aggression. You've seen what they did against Italy. They came into it right after that loss, playing Italy, blew them out of the court.
Yeah. Steve Kerr, he is leading the USA at this Basketball World Cup. How do you rate his coaching? I mean, he's done so well with the Warriors. How has he done in this international brand of basketball?
I think it's always challenging when you have this many high-level players. You know, not to say that he doesn't coach his fair share of stars on his team. You know, on his team, he's had to coach Steph and Clay mainly, right? And then the other guys kind of work within that system. But now you have a bunch of players who on their respective teams are usually option number one or option number two. How do you now get everybody to buy in and say, hey, you know, I'm going to have to rotate you. You can't play your usual 40 minutes a game. You know, you can't play, you know,
maybe 15 minutes a
right,
game.
You might have
20.
To do 15 to 20, but those are going to be impactful 15 to 20 minutes. I believe there's a conversation he had with Anthony Edwards earlier on before the World Cup started. And he said that Dwayne Wade was coming off the bench in the year for the Redeem team, I believe, or something. And then Anthony Edwards' response was, yeah, but Kobe's not on this team.
That's a good response. I like that.
So he said, since Kobe's not on the team, I'm not coming off the bench. But I think Steve has done a relatively good job in keeping the guys motivated and making sure that they, you know, are all in it together. He has a good group of guys that know how to play for each other when they need to, and they did a really good job in bouncing back against Italy. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in the semis.
Well, if you had to make some predictions at this point, Muckbill, Serbia-USA final?
Honestly, I'm gonna say Canada-US final.
Canada-US.
Yeah, like I said earlier on, just by looking at that team, that Canadian team, and who they have as their core, SGA leading them. They have Dylan Brooks, who also got teed up and ejected in that game, but he was playing relatively well. He had about 14 points. You have RJ Barrett, who put up another 24 points. He's been solid for them. Kelly Olynyk, they got a star-studded lineup of NBA vets mixed with NBA All-Stars. So I like the Canadian side to make it to the finals. If they're able to continue to do what they've been doing, Canada versus U.S. final be huge.
Muckbill, I want to give another Sunny Side of Sports shout out for the Bright Stars of South Sudan. They received a hero's welcome this week in Juba. Carlick Jones plays for the Bulls, I believe. He was their leading scorer with more than 20 points a game through five games. But, you know, I think the big thing about South Sudan, Muckbill, this was the very first time they've played at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. And three wins out of five games, very impressive. And they're now going to Paris next year for the Olympics. That's a whole different type of tournament. Only 12 teams will compete in Paris. So you got to give it up for the Bright Stars.
Man, shout out to South Sudan. We've known for years that they have been able to produce NBA caliber players, from Manute Ball, you know, to player to Ball, you know, you know, and then having seen Nuni Omot, you know, be the MVP for the BAL, and now also playing on this team, having an integral part on this South Sudanese team. It's been great to see not only his personal development, but the development of the team. And I'm excited to see what they do in Paris. Sonny, like you said, 3 out of 5 in your introductory tournament.
That's really impressive.
Huge, man.
Impressive.
Huge. I mean, we can make the argument and say if they were in a different group that they make it to the next level, you know? So we'll see what they do in Paris. But I think they have done an excellent job. And I think this is just the beginning for South Sudan.
Mukbil Yabaro, thank you, my man.
Thank you so much, Sonny. Appreciate it.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Pops Mensa Bonsu, a former NBA player who is celebrating his 40th birthday on this Thursday. Pops was born in London to Ghanaian parents. Pops played his college basketball right here in Washington for George Washington University, where he majored in psychology. At the professional level, Pops played for 5 NBA teams, the Dallas Mavericks, the San Antonio Spurs, the Toronto Raptors, the Houston Rockets, and the New Orleans Hornets. Happy 40th birthday, Pops Mensa Bonsu.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the Voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the VOA's late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Rugby World Cup will officially kick off Friday when France takes on New Zealand near Paris. The All Blacks of New Zealand have lifted the World Cup trophy a record time 3 times. The Springboks of South Africa have also won the World Cup trophy 3 times. They'll begin defense of their world title Sunday when they play Scotland in Marseille, France. Joining us now from Durban, South Africa, to tell us about preparations by the Springboks is Myron Nyka. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Springboks carry the weight of the Rainbow Nation's expectations on their shoulders. As three-time winners of the Rugby World Cup, they understand what it takes to go all the way. Their triumph in the 2019 edition, despite being written off by many pundits, is testament to their ability to rise up against adversity. France is also a special place for the team, having won their second title in the European nation back in 2007. But coach Jacques Nienaber and veteran forward Dwayne Vermeulen say they're not focusing on history.
History doesn't have any influence on whatever the result will be of the World Cup. That's what we believe.
If you talk about 4 years ago, 4 years ago is history. You gotta be in the now and you gotta be in the present. And I think this year's World Cup is probably the most open World Cup that you can have.
Nienaber says they'll stick to their traditional robust approach and look to their creative players to express themselves. They've been drawn in a tough group. Pool C consists of world number one team Ireland, Tonga, Romania and Scotland, who they'll play at the Stade Velodrome this weekend.
Listen, the Scotland game is the most important game for us in the World Cup. It is the biggest game for us because we are in a tough pool and it is what it is, and that's why it's so important, the first game against Scotland.
Springbok assistant coach Dion David says they've done their homework on the Scots. Scotland have some inside intel on how the Boks play, with five players with South African roots in their squad. But David says what's important is for the Boks to stick to their plans.
If you look at Scotland, Scotland is a team that plays with good intensity. I think there's a good understanding amongst the players. If you look at all of their players that are selected in the squad and where they play and how they play, whatever they do with it, whether it's with ball in hand or ball without ball in hand, I think there's they will always oppose a threat to you in different aspects of the game. So again, coming back to that is for us, it's all about looking at ourselves in terms of how we can ensure that we handle a pressure from any team in this competition in any area, and that's our big focus.
The hot weather in the south of France will no doubt favour the Boks, who are familiar with warm temperatures given the South African climate. It won't be an advantage, though, as Nienaber feels the Scots have prepared themselves for the heat.
I think it's definitely something to get used to. Obviously, I think, I know from a conditioning point of view, if you have a 5-6 degree elevation in temperature that you normally or training in or get used to, it is some adjustment that your body needs to make. But I think in terms of our test match against Scotland, the day they played against France a couple of weeks ago, and they had a training camp in France in the south, so they would have been introduced to it as we were.
Vermeulen, who was part of the squad that lifted the trophy in Japan 4 years ago, says the players understand what they'll need to do in the coming weeks in order to be competitive. While the Boks are known for their big physical presence, their mental approach is just as important, as Vermeulen elaborates.
Our mental mental approach to this game is probably like a knockout. It is, like I said, it's our first game and we need to start well. That's the most important thing for us. From there on, we can take it game by game. But this is the start of the World Cup, and this is obviously, without a doubt, the most important game for us.
The Boks will be led out by inspirational captain Siya Kolisi this Sunday. The man who injured his knee back in April was in serious doubt of making the trip to the global showpiece. But he, along with the rest of the squad, are fit and raring to go. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Nyka in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. In African women's volleyball, our big story this year was Kenya winning its record 10th continental title in Yaounde, Cameroon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Moki Edwin Kinsica reports from Yaoundé.
Hundreds of fans applaud in Yaoundé as the national women's volleyball team of Kenya lifts gold for the 10th time as women's African volleyball champions. Kenya thrashed Egypt 3-0 to lift the trophy. Kenya women's volleyball coach Paul Bitok says hard work pays off and he is proud of his team.
We are very happy here in Cameroon. The excitement for winning the 10th title and also qualifying for the Olympics 2024. It's a really great moment for Kenya for getting this title from the OC Cameroon after winning 3 consecutive years. We worked very hard for it. As you can see, we have expertise from Brazil. We have empowerment program, which we have run for the last 4 months before coming to this competition.
The best player of the competition is Sharon Chepchuma, still from Kenya. Sharon dedicates a trophy to the many fans in her home country and across Africa.
I'm so proud of my teammates, and I'm also proud of myself. Second time to be the MVP. It's not easy, but the support that I've been getting from my teammates, it has been massive, and I really appreciate it. So I'm saying I will keep on working hard, I'll keep on fighting, and I'll keep on encouraging African players, not only in Kenya, but all African players to work hard and have that determination so that they can achieve whatever they want in life. As an African girl, I believe that this time round in the world, they will respect Africa because we got good talent and we are ready to conquer it and we are ready to show them that Africa has good talent.
The 2023 finalists, Kenya and Egypt, were among favorites. The two teams were the most dominant forces in the tournament, with Kenya winning all of their matches and Egypt losing only one before losing again in the finals. Egypt striker Sabin Hassan acknowledges they met a more determined Kenya.
We studied this team, Kenya, a lot. They play yesterday very well. Kenya is a very, very, very good team. Thank you.
Kenya therefore lifts gold and Egypt silver. Defending champions and consecutive 3-time winners Cameroon defeated Rwanda by 3-1 to win bronze at the championship. Peter Nonimbridge, Cameroon's head coach, says his team is still very young, but promising.
We have to be realistic. A lot of experienced players, they stop playing for this team, and to change and bring new players on the level what had before, this needs time and work. In 2 years we can win if we get enough time to work. And you see, like Kenya, they were all year long more or less together working, paid by FIVB to travel all around the world and playing all around the world and tournaments. If we get enough budget simply like that to work, for sure we can be on the same level like that, maybe better.
But Kenya's coach Paul Bitok says Cameroon did not make use of some of its players who are among the top in the continent. Bitok says such players are needed for Cameroon to do well in the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship.
To build a player like Moma and Chumba, it takes more than 4 years to have such players. And I really request the nation of Cameroon, Ministry of Sports, to sit down and bring us Moma. We want to represent World Championship when we have Moma in the team. We don't want to go as only Kenya. We want to represent as Africa. And we want to have the best representation.
Many people here in Yaoundé agree that the Cameroonian Volleyball Federation did a good job of beautifully organizing the competition. The Central African States officials applaud fans who massively participated at the event.
Le Cameroun adhère à cette vision chère aux Nations Unies qui veut le sport comme un aliment du
développement. Cameroon's sports minister Narcisse Moale Kambi says Cameroon gave in its best to organize the 2023 Women's African Volleyball Championship because the Central African State adheres to the United Nations ideology of sports as an instrument for development, peace, living together, and mutual understanding between states, people and communities all over the world.
Différents horizons de différentes nationalités, de différentes cultures.
Morocco, Rwanda, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Lesotho, Mali and Uganda return home as nations that have never won the championship. Egypt, Tunisia and Cameroon have the record of three times winners, and the continent's giants Kenya carry the 10th Women's African Volleyball Top Trophy in Yaoundé. Kenya will represent Africa at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris before joining Cameroon and Egypt as the continent's ambassadors to the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship, contested by the senior women's national teams of the members of the Fédération Internationale de Volleyball, which Hong Kong, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam have expressed interest to host. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Turning to tennis, the women's singles semifinals will be played later Thursday night at the U.S. Open in New York. In the first semifinal, American Coco Gauff will play Karolina Mukova of the Czech Republic. And that will be followed by the second semifinal at Arthur Ashe Stadium. American Madison Keys will challenge Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus. Now, Sabalenka will officially take over the world number one ranking on Monday, September 11th, when the next set of rankings are released by the Women's Tennis Association. Madison Keys advanced to the Final Four with a victory Wednesday over the reigning Wimbledon champion, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
Madison Keys has won through to her third U.S. Open semifinal after a straight sets win over Wimbledon champion Marketa Vondrousova, closing out the win 6-1, 6-4.
These are the matches that, like, you grow up dreaming of, and these are the moments that you want to be in. So that kind of pressure of it's the big stage, but also just the reminder of this is literally what we've all dreamed.
A 28-year-old American hit 19 winners and was 3-for-3 on break points converted, Vondrousova contributing to the result with 19 unforced errors and her inability to convert on any of her 9 break point chances. Keys is through to take on second seed Aryna Sabalenka. Men's defending champion Carlos Alcaraz continued his untroubled charge to the draw, easily beating Alexander Zverev to face Russian third seed Daniil Medvedev. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. The AP's Josh Rountree joins us now with a roundup of Wednesday's Major League Baseball action.
Baseball's playoff races are heating up. We start with a key game in the NL as the Cubs remain tot. More from David Schuster.
Rookie Jordan Wicks improved to 3-0 as the Cubs defeated the Giants 8-2.
I don't really think about, you know, the personal success. I'm not satisfied until we're in the playoffs. You know, that's the ultimate goal. That's my goal.
Wicks lasted into the seventh inning before tiring and actually saw his ERA rise to just above 2. Seiya Suzuki stayed hot with 2 hits and 3 RBIs, while Cody Bellinger had a pair of ribbies, one coming on his 24th home run. With the victory, the Cubs have won 4 in a row, pulling to within a game and a half of Milwaukee in the NL Central, while the Giants have lost 6 in a row.
The Marlins ran away with a win over the Dodgers 11-4. Joey Wendell with 4 RBIs. A couple of hits for Jacob Stallings, who helped the team pick up the victory just hours after Miami put top players Sandy Alcantara and Jorge Soler on the IL.
Credit to our group, because I mean, anytime two of your best players went on the IL on the same day, it could take kind of knock the wind out of you, but you know, guys responded to great.
In Texas, Jose Abreu hit a grand slam and a 3-run homer to lift Houston over the Rangers 12-3 through an interpreter. Abreu reveling in Houston's 16 long balls in 3 games.
I could be honest, in my career, my 10 years, my career, I've never seen this happen before.
You know, and like I said earlier, I think when the lights shine bright here, these guys know how to handle things, and you know, it's very impressive what they can do.
Other MLB winners: Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Oakland, Arizona, Philly, Seattle, the Yankees, Cardinals, White Sox, and Rays, which got a career high 14 strikeouts from Tyler Glasnow. I'm Josh Rountree.
Thanks, Josh. And that wraps up the September 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.